Hello everybody and welcome to the United Stand podcast. I'm Mark Goldbridge. We're going to fly straight into it today. Sad news, no Flex. He's flying out to the Holland game, but he's given me a few pointers. But I want to just get into this straight away because that's what we do on the podcast. We talk about things that's not on the YouTube channel. So I want to talk about this Ollie in, Ollie out thing. Allegri to Manchester United. I just want to start off with this because I think the water is muddied somewhat, should I say. And I've got Jim Silverbridge who'll be on in a moment. But the water is muddied somewhat because I don't think there's a clarity to what's going on at Manchester United at all at the moment. You could be Ollie in, out, or on the fence. We've spoken about that. But I do feel that there is a bit of a persecution of Manchester United fans who are Ollie out at the moment. I saw on Sky Sports yesterday, they're interviewing fans outside the ground. Everybody was Ollie in. You look around the media, obviously ex-players, we know they've got a relationship with Ollie. I understand why they're sticking up for him. But even mainstream media, I've seen Henry Winter, I've seen Simon Stone, BBC, and you know, really good journalists backing Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer, which is a total contrast to what we've seen in recent years with Van Gaal, even with Moyes, and certainly with Mourinho. So Ollie has this sort of this shield around him from the media, from the club, obviously, from ex-players, and you know that there is this one story being put out by the mainstream media. I think this is the brilliance of, you know, fanzines, fan channels, forums, whatever you want to call them, because you get more honesty there. And I think this is why fans relate to it. Well, they relate to it because you get more honesty, but they relate to it because there's no arrogance. It's fans talking to fans. So, and that works really, really well. But where the media are getting this wrong, I think, with the Ollie thing is that there is a persecution of fans. I really do think that there is, because they are basically subjecting the more influenced fan to a certain rhetoric, a certain story. Ollie in is the way to go. You must be patient. It's dictatorial at the end of the day. I haven't seen really any flip side to the story, which I think is really poor from mainstream media. Surely there should be. And you know, I think the reality is that 70% of United fans are Ollie in, so the majority, but I'd say a good 20 to 30% are Ollie out. And where is that story? Where is that being put out? It's not. You're being made to feel, and because it's not being put out, you then get the toxicity on social media, around the ground, saying, oh, if you're Ollie out, you get out of my club, you know, all this total nonsense. When actually, worst start in 30 years, terrible end to the season, terrible start to the season, poor football, poor selections. There is a reason to be Ollie out. And as people know, I'm not at that point. And I'm going to talk about Allegri in a moment. I'm not at that point yet. But I think if you are at that point, it's a story. And there doesn't seem to be any appetite from the media to tell that story. And I think that's poor. I think it's hypocritical. And I think it's poor journalism, poor punditry, because you're not telling the full story. And the full story is surely what any story is, unless you're going to dictate to people. And I don't think it's doing any good. And I think it is leading to a persecution of the most important people in football, which is you, the fans. Your voice is the most important. And I think this happens too much in football. I just want to talk about VAR before I talk about Allegri. I'm not wandering off topic, because the reality is I've seen VAR, Manchester United versus Arsenal. To me, that's a penalty. And I don't see why we've got VAR, because last year it wouldn't have been a penalty. The ref didn't see it. But this year it should have been. But they don't review it. But even worse, the Spurs game last night, what a game that was. Bayern Munich's finishing is just absolutely superb. I mean, I wanted Spurs to win, I'll put my hands up. But the finishing of Bayern Munich, it's just, I love crisp, clinical finishing like that. And it was absolutely amazing. But there's a clear penalty on Kingsley Coman. Danny Rose gets a penalty, probably a little bit soft. But I would say it was a penalty because there was a connection on his foot. Kingsley Coman, a few minutes later in the box, Danny Rose slides in. Look, Coman stood there waiting for the contact, but there is contact. It's a penalty. Now, the referee goes, no, it's not a penalty. And you think last season or the year before, because we did have VAR in the Champions League last year, it's not a penalty. The referee's made his decision. But when we see it on the telly, right, VAR is going to say that's a penalty. And it doesn't. And you think, well, now you've lost me. You've lost me now, because I understand VAR. When I saw Aubameyang's goal against United, linesman inexplicably gives it offside, but VAR corrects it. And you, as soon as you see it, you go, right, that's going to be a goal. They've got to correct that. But then with the penalty on Kingsley Coman, you see that it is a penalty. You know, there is contact there. Danny Rose has been a bit reckless. Koeman's waited for the contact. That's a penalty. And then it plays on and you don't get a penalty. And you're like, well, you've lost me now, because I'm the customer, I'm the fan, and you've brought something in that makes no sense. You've brought something in that is still subjective to human opinion, and that's not what it's there to do. I don't like VAR, I never wanted VAR, but if you're going to do it properly. And like a subjective decision that, yes, Danny Rose connects with Koeman, but we won't give a penalty. Why? That's not what VAR is for. And again, the handball in the United game. Oh, he's trying to move his hand away. Well, sorry, the ball travels a long way. He doesn't get his hand away. It's a penalty. I'm sorry. That's. But, you know, so again, the customer is treated with disrespect. We are the customer. We're the most important people in football. I've said this for years, though. This is why I started a fan channel. I don't think fans are respected in the game of football at all, even though without us, it wouldn't exist. And, you know, I think VAR is disrespecting the most important people, which is the fans, because you are, again, muddying the waters and confusing us. And secondly, bringing it back to Manchester United and the mainstream media, whether you're Ollie in or Ollie out, there's a story to be told. It's not, you know, people aren't Ollie out because they don't like him. You know, I was Moyes out from the start. I didn't like him. I didn't like his style of football, which we'll talk about Allegri in a moment. But I didn't like him from the start. It was a bit illogical. I wanted Moyes sacked the minute he was appointed, and I was proved right in the end. But people who are Ollie out, they were probably singing Ollie's at the wheel. You know, they like him. He is a club legend. But they're Ollie out now because the stats and the facts and the way United have been playing for a long time, it has made them come to that decision. But the mainstream media is basically because they won't tell the true story and be even-handed with it, and pundits won't do it, and ex-players won't do it. I don't expect the club to do it. They've got to be loyal to their manager, of course. They're basically leading to the persecution of Manchester United fans in a way that, you know, as a customer, they're disrespected. Oh, you're Ollie out. You're a nobody. You don't matter. You clearly don't know what you're on about. And that's every time I see a tweet from a journalist I respect, or every time I see a comment from an ex-United player that I respect, or a pundit that I respect about how you've got to give Ollie patience, this, that, and the other. I become a little bit more frustrated because I'm like, you're demeaning the people who have concerns, because you're not addressing the issue. It's like when Rio Ferdinand stopped and spoke to Flex. Oh, you've got to go through the process. It's too early. Well, I do agree it's too early, but then the question obviously back is, yeah, but come on, Rio. Come on, Gary. Come on, Simon Stone. Come on, whoever it is that you respect. Look at the performances. Show me the vision then. You talk about patience. Show me the vision. You know, you're obviously hearing great things from within the club, but when are we going to start seeing things? When are you going to wake up to the fact that it's our worst start in 30 years? When are you going to wake up to the fact that he's picking Jesse Lingard every game and he's total trash? You know, there is a story that they're not telling, and I think that's really frustrating, and I think it's leading to anybody who's, you know, wanting to tell that story or discuss that story, they sort of get dismissed. And again, this is what the mainstream media can do. They're being dismissive, and I don't like it. I don't like it. As I say, I'm Ollie in, but I think there is a story to be told there, and I think that there is valid concern, I would say. But having said that, let's talk about Allegri. Allegri is apparently taking English lessons, and there's talk that Manchester United are looking at bringing him in for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I've got to say, it's a no from me. I don't know what you lot think. It's a no from me. I do watch a lot of Italian football, and what I've always said about Italian football is it's slow, it's more tactical, it's more patient, and that pretty much describes Allegri as a manager. He came into Juventus, he did a very good job, there was a rebuild there after Conte, and obviously the success was maintained. He's quite a versatile coach, but definitely if you compare him to Juventus under Conte, it became a little bit more patient, it became less pressing, less urgent, more adaptable. He's a good manager. He is a good manager, Allegri. But if this is the thing that United fans need to be very, very careful about. Is it just anybody will do now because I'm Ollie out? You know, that's not the way to do this. And as I've said many, many times before, at what point do you say, look, we don't trust this board? And I think Allegri, oh what a surprise, he's available. You know, again, it's like, I got to be honest with you, if United sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and gave Allegri the job, I would be saying, I hope it works, but I can see it being another 2 years, another failure. He's never managed in the Premier League before. I mean, the age is on his side, he's only 52, but never managed here before, would need a lot of patience. And, you know, if a club legend can't get patience, I mean, all right, he's probably mastering his own downfall at the moment because of the team he's selecting in the formations. But, I mean, Allegri would probably come in and play, well, he does like the 4-2-3-1. He likes a 3-5-2. He is adaptable, but I don't think his style of football is going to be what United fans want. I don't think his demeanour would be what United fans want. And I think it's just another big name that did well at Juventus that, oh, we'll take him. I don't think it's the answer. I think it's paper talk as well. I think it's disrespectful paper talk. I mean, I don't think we're at that point where United would be looking at new other managers anyway. So I think it's clearly paper talk. I think it's 2 + 2 = 6. He's available. He's a good manager. But this is what concerns me, is that if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does end up getting the sack at some point in the future, then who do we bring in next? And that is a very, very relevant question. Who do you bring in at Manchester United next? Because the whole point is that there isn't actually that many options out there. And the funny thing is, a year ago when Mourinho was sacked, we were looking at Jardim, who has sort of fallen by the wayside, Zidane, who's sort of fallen by the wayside going back to Real Madrid, Pochettino, who is... I still think Pochettino is a good coach, by the way. I just want to say that in a more topical sense. I think Pochettino is a good coach. I think we live in a flip-flop world. And yeah, you get smashed by Munich, you're going to get called a prat. But the reality is that Spurs team clearly has got something going on behind the scenes. And I don't know whether it's fallings out amongst players, Pochettino doesn't want to be there, whatever. But the reality is there's something going wrong there. And Pochettino is unable to... I mean, they've had... The interesting thing is, United have had... I mean, what was it this morning I was looking at? United have scored 7 goals within the box this season, and they're 13th in the league for goals from within the box. But we're top of the league for penalties, 2. So 2 - 7 = 5. So actually, we'd be even lower down the league if we hadn't had those 2 penalties for goals in the box. Spurs, on the other hand, are top of the league for saves by their goalkeeper. Which, you know, Tottenham Hotspur should not be top of the league for saves by the goalkeeper, because that means you're having a lot of shots on your goal. And yeah, Lloris has made a lot of saves, but Spurs traditionally have a very good defence. Their defence is just disintegrated. And, you know, that is a problem that betrays that there's a lack of concentration and there's a lack of organisation, which again betrays that there is not squad cohesion, not team unity. So something's going on at Spurs, definitely. And but, you know, would Pochettino end up at United? Is he trying to get the sack so he's free to come to United? You know, there's all sorts of conspiracy theories. So there's not really many options out there for United, which I think is why Allegri gets offered up. And I think that's something that United fans do need to consider, is that if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was sacked, what else is out there? Is there a manager out there that you would go, yes, that's what I want? And there are, but I don't know whether Man United would go for them. I mean, I personally would like, I do like Laurent Blanc. I do like the Southampton coach. There are coaches like that that are up and coming that could be really good at United. But anything's going to be a risk, isn't it? So that's why we hope that Ollie would turn it around. I mean, we'll look at the January transfer window. Never seems to shut up. It's amazing that United can basically have a shit transfer window, and yet people are already talking about the January one in October and September. And look, you know, Maguire was a very good signing. Wan-Bissaka was a good signing. Dan James is a good signing. But, you know, it was still a shit transfer window. I'll argue that with anybody. And the reality is, all of you lot said that as well. At the end of the transfer window, we didn't get any midfielders in and we didn't get any attackers in. And, I mean, I saw this today. Timo Werner, Moussa Dembele, Ousmane Dembele are 3 players that United are looking at. Out of those 3, I wouldn't want Ousmane Dembele from Barcelona. I think there is worrying stories around him about attitude, laziness, and he's not grabbed an opportunity. So why would United take that risk with an inexperienced manager under Ollie? I don't think Ollie's the sort of manager to solve that sort of problem at the moment. He's struggling enough trying to solve being a manager. So, you know, getting him to bring in, you know, players that need a rebuild, I don't think that's right for him. Moussa Dembele is interesting, but I don't actually think he's amazing. I think he's a goal scorer, which obviously we need at the moment, but I don't think, you know, his background is Fulham, Celtic and the French League. Timo Werner's the one for me. If anyone watches my FIFA career mode on That's Football, I've always have Timo Werner. I like him. I think he's definitely ready for the next step. I was very surprised he didn't go to Bayern Munich, and that sort of concerns me a little bit, is that probably his next move will be Bayern Munich or Dortmund. But if there's any opportunity for United, I'd be looking at Timo Werner. I don't want to look at Mandzukic, as I've said many, many time again. But I think the interesting thing is how ambitious are Manchester United? Because Rio Ferdinand, after the Champions League game last night, was saying that Harry Kane needs to do what he did when he was at Leeds, which is move from a big club to a club that you are actually going to be able to win titles. And he is saying that Spurs are not going to win titles. Maybe Spurs have had their good period, the Champions League final, a couple of title. Well, the year that Chelsea won it and Leicester won it, Spurs really should have got closer to a title. Are they going to get close to a title this year? No. Are they going to win the Champions League? No. Are they going to win a cup? Well, they're already out of one cup, so probably no. Spurs are going to be a team that's probably always top four, but never winning a title. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. So Harry Kane, Rio saying, look, Harry Kane's a top striker. He's probably going to be England's top goal scorer very, very soon. So he needs to be playing at a big club. Does he want to be another Alan Shearer? But Alan Shearer won a Premier League at Blackburn, so he's basically saying, yeah, look at what I did at Leeds. I was at a good team. You know, we dabbled with the Champions League, but I knew I wasn't going to win titles there, so I moved and I went to Manchester United. That's what Harry Kane needs to do. Where would Harry Kane go? Where would Harry Kane go? I mean, I think maybe Real Madrid, maybe a Barcelona would look at him. His goal scorer record is very good. Probably more Real Madrid, to be honest. I don't think he'd suit Barca's style. But within England, would Man City go for him? I don't think he's a Pep player. Would Klopp go for him? I don't think he's a Klopp player. So then that leaves, well, he's not going to go to Arsenal. He's probably not going to go to Chelsea. It leaves a clear run for Manchester United. And if United are looking for a striker, and United have got money, then Harry Kane, I would take at Manchester United 100%. And I know people will be going, we've got no chance. But he's got no chance of winning a title at Spurs. No chance. And Manchester United is a huge club. And I think that Harry Kane, if he got his mindset right and did think like Rio said, that Manchester United would be quite appealing. To go to Manchester United, start scoring the goals, would obviously make us... If we had Harry Kane now, we're not creating enough chances in the box, but the chances that we've had, you think about the crosses that have been put in from Wan-Bissaka, from Dan James, that you've gone, that's a good cross, and Marcus Rashford sat reading a book on the penalty spot. You know, he's not moving. He's not on his toes. So Harry Kane would get on the end of those sort of things. And we'd probably have another 5 or 6 goals. And another 5 or 6 goals would probably mean another 5 or 6 points, which would put us in the top four, which is what this season was all about. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if there's any opportunity, United should be looking at Harry Kane. But that would have to be driven by Harry Kane. And is Harry Kane, like Rio said, going to be a player that's happy to stay at Spurs, you know, sort of like a big fish in a small pond? Or is he ambitious to win titles? And, you know, Timo Werner, to me, would love him at United. Harry Kane definitely would like him at Manchester United. But, I mean, what lies ahead at Manchester United? What does lie ahead? I mean, that's something I want to touch on in a moment, because a lot of people, we live in the now, and I think that's the narrative that we should all have. But what lies ahead for Manchester United? But very quickly, it'd be wrong of me not to talk about the candidates for Manager of the Month for September, which you might hear a little bit of a click here, because I actually haven't prepared for this. But I do know that the three candidates are Scott McTominay, Daniel James and Mason Greenwood. So, in fact, just a little bit of breaking news here while I'm just looking on the BBC website, that Bernardo Silva is charged with misconduct by the FA over a tweet he sent to teammate Benjamin Mendy, which I think is right. You know, I think that the way that Man City have sort of tried to sweep that under the carpet and say, oh, it's not racist. Well, my perception of that, and perception is the very important word, is that a lot of people would say it's not racist, but like with many things, it's not necessarily how you perceive it, it's how others perceive it. And I think that, you know, you're skating on thin ice there, and I think it's right that he falls through and the FA look into it. That's what I would say. So let's have a look at the month of September for Manchester United, and that will sort of refresh my memory. So obviously Arsenal, Rochdale, West Ham, Astana and Leicester. I mean, to be honest, McTominay played very well against Leicester and Arsenal, so he should definitely be a candidate. Greenwood got 2 goals against Rochdale and Astana. And Dan James has been a steady player for me, but I don't think I'd be giving Dan James player of the month for September. There's nothing that really stands out to me. Obviously, the penalty against Leicester was Rashford, and he won the penalty as well. The goal against Arsenal was McTominay, and he was very good against Leicester. I mean, I think McTominay started the season a bit inconsistent, but September he had a good month. So for me, it's McTominay or it's Mason Greenwood. Does it go against Mason Greenwood that he's scored against Rochdale and Astana and not really been involved in the Premier League games? I think I would give it to Scott McTominay because the two significant results are definitely the draw against Arsenal and the win against Leicester. And I think in both those games he played really well. So I'd give it McTominay. If not, I'd give it to Greenwood. But that's how I would go with that one, I think. I don't know what you think. I can't see your live comments because we're not doing YouTube. It's taking me a while to get used to this podcast, but I do enjoy it. I hope you all enjoy it as well on the podcast. Make sure you are listening each week. We're a little bit of a day late today this week because of the game against Arsenal sort of threw us out, but we will be doing one every week. Normally goes out on Tuesday. And subscribe to the United Stand on whatever platform you are watching or listening. See, I told you to get it wrong. But what lies ahead for Manchester United, I think is very, very interesting at this point. We've got the game against AZ Alkmaar, if you're watching it before that. If you're watching it afterwards, I suspect we didn't win. I'm not going to say we've lost, but I suspect we didn't win. And if we did win, what a good win it is, because they're a good team, Alkmaar. And then we go into the Newcastle game. And I think this is something that I'm certainly, if you watched the Manchester United versus AZ Alkmaar preview, you will have heard me say this. I just have concerns about the Newcastle game, but expect us to win that. And then beyond that, you go into October. Well, we're in October already. You go into games against Liverpool at home on the 20th after the international break. Then we're in Serbia for Partizan Belgrade on the Thursday. Then we're away to Norwich on the Sunday. Then we're away to Chelsea on the Tuesday at the moment. I can't see how we're playing on the Tuesday and why that's not been moved, to be honest, because you can't play Sunday, Tuesday. And then we're playing Bournemouth on the Saturday away before we go home to Partizan Belgrade and home to Brighton. So there's a run of fixtures here that Ollie won't fancy. And I think he's got to get a result against Newcastle on Sunday, because if he doesn't, we're probably going to get a draw against Liverpool at best. And then the problem is the Europa League. And this is what I'm on about. We play in Holland on Thursday night against AZ Alkmaar. Then we're playing in Newcastle on Sunday. You come back from international break. You play Liverpool. Then you're playing in Serbia on Thursday. Then you're playing Norwich away on the Sunday. And then we're playing Chelsea midweek away in the Carabao Cup. And then we're playing Bournemouth away on the Saturday. Lots of away games, which are always advantageous and disadvantageous when you're a team that's struggling. So it's a massive month for Manchester United. And I think that you've got to try and get 3 points where you can get 3 points. And the Premier League games, there's 12 points to be played for there. Newcastle away, Liverpool at home, Norwich away and Bournemouth away. We've got to take 6 points from those games. We've got to. 6 from 12 probably isn't good enough, but you've got to take 6 from 12. So he's got to win. Is he going to beat Liverpool? Probably not. He's got to beat Newcastle and Norwich, or Newcastle and Bournemouth, because I can't, or win all three. So what lies ahead? I think this is why this is one of the big things why I'm not Ollie out, because there is an opportunity over the next month to spin it into a positive. And if we could beat Newcastle, Norwich and Bournemouth and get a draw against Liverpool, that's 10 points from 12. That's progression. That's something to build on. So, and the next month is the perfect time. There's not really an easy game in there. There's no Brighton at home until November where you can hopefully just scrape a win, even if you play craply. There are challenging fixtures ahead, and that will sink or will swim. Of course, if it goes badly, if we were to lose to Newcastle, draw with Norwich and lose to Bournemouth and lose to Liverpool and take 1 point from 12, I can't see then how you put yourself in a position to stay in a job for much longer. But I definitely think the next month is critical. And then what lies ahead? Well, you know, I don't like sitting on the fence. I think United will finally start to graft their way into seventh. I don't know whether we're going to get top six this season, and whether seventh is good enough to stay in a job in May. We'll have to wait and see. But I do think United will start to get results. I think we're a wounded animal, and I don't blame teams like Newcastle and Norwich and Bournemouth and for going for us, which I think they will do. But that might if we can get Martial back, if, you know, we can start to get the best out of Paul Pogba. I've said it time again, and I say it on here. I think that if I was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you've got to stop playing two centre defensive midfielders, Jesse Lingard and Rashford, through the middle. It's a weak, weak spine, and that's why we're struggling. And if you went with Fred and McTominay with Pogba, and you went with Martial up front and put Greenwood to the Rashford to the right with Dan James off the left, I think we'll start to win games because that back four, five is good. And then suddenly you've got a good, our best midfield three, and you've got a stronger front three. And I think, you know, move the ball quicker, we'll score more goals, we'll win more games. And I think that's the thing. I think we're that close. I think we are that close to being a better team. Now, how good that team can be is a hypothetical. We don't know. But it's certainly better than the one that we've got at the moment. And I think it's a reason why Ollie can sort of be given a bit of patience, certainly by me, is because I still would like to see him go back to the 4-3-3 that he started with. And I think, oh, right, we haven't got Herrera and we haven't got Lukaku and we haven't got a fit Martial at the moment. But I think Pogba, McTominay and Fred as a midfield three, Martial, Rashford and Dan James as a front three, they can interchange as well. We move the ball quicker and we've got a strong back four. I think that team you can build with. You can definitely build with that team. And he seems reluctant to play that team. So I think the next month is interesting. Would he go with that team I've just said there, or will he stick with what he's doing at the moment? And I think if he sticks, he's going to be sacked. But if he twists and goes with the team he should do, I think we'll see a better team that's more pleasing on the eye. And what I want to say as well is, I said this to Flex, it's a shame he's not here. I said, look, the danger is, if you're Ollie out, is what if he turns it around? You're going to look like a right mug. You are. You are going to look like a right mug. But then, you're not. Because if he turns it around, he's going to have to go to do the things I've just said there. In which case, if you were Ollie out, and you changed and went, well, actually, I'm Ollie in now because he's doing what I wanted him to do. Well, that's respectable. Of course, you get prats going, oh, you were Ollie out. You've got no right to get back on the Ollie in bus. But I think they have. I think they have, because the thing with the people who are Ollie in at the moment, of which I'm included, is that unless you've got a stopgap, unless you've got a reason as to why you are Ollie in, it's like, I don't like what we're doing at the moment, but if he does this, I'll support him. Well, he's going to have to do that for you to support him, or you're going to become Ollie out and he's going to get the sack anyway. So actually, there might be Ollie outers who in the future become Ollie inners and actually do it in a way that makes sense. Because at the moment, they're probably Ollie out because of how badly we're playing. But actually, if he changes, they might go, well, actually, that's why I wanted him in the first place. He has taken it on board. I'll give him my support. Football's fluid, isn't it? That's what we want to see at United, a bit of fluid football. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We will be back again next week with Flex. He's out on a plane to Holland at the moment, so couldn't get him on this week, but we have done a podcast for you. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you get yourself onto the YouTube channel. We've got some good stuff coming up over the next few days. Obviously, watch alongs for AZ Alkmaar. If you're watching it the day this has come out, we've got a preview at lunchtime for that game, and we've got the Ollie press conference reaction this afternoon as well. So loads going on. Thanks everyone for listening. And make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're on. You'll be hearing from us next week. Get yourself on the YouTube channel if you want more content. And I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please do leave your feedback on our Twitter tweets about it. And yeah, thanks for listening.